comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Talk radio like nowhere else on Earth. It's the show where you matter. What we're going to be talking about tonight is important, very important. In fact, it's one of the most important discussions we've ever had here at the Kevin Smith Show. Perhaps it's the most important. And I hope you'll listen very intently. And then, when I open the telephone lines in a bit, I hope that you will decide to use your fingers to dial your telephone to call in and participate in this very important discussion. We're going to be talking about futuristic technology, technology being used right now against people just like you. And why are we doing it? Well, quite simply, because you have a right to know. In just a moment, we'll be joined by our guest, Derek Robinson. And we'll be delving into all kinds of things that are happening to harass and enslave ordinary, everyday people. Things that are happening using high-tech tools. Now, before we take this break, I also want to remind you that we have a free weekly newsletter. That newsletter often contains articles about these sorts of things. It contains links to information about these sort of things, links to videos about these sort of things, and there's no reason why you shouldn't be getting it, because it's free. The reason you're not getting it is because you haven't gotten it yet. You haven't gotten it right here. That information is the most precious commodity on this planet. Not gold, not diamonds, not oil. Information. Secrets are power. Knowledge is freedom. And the more knowledge you have, the more tools you have for being free. So if you are not yet subscribed to the K-Files, our free weekly newsletter, you need to get over to the website, kevinsmithshow.com, and click where it says K-Files. We ask you one question. That one question is your email address. So you enter your email address and click submit, and automatically the system sends you a confirmation email with a link in it for you to click to activate your subscription. If you don't click that link, your subscription doesn't get activated. You may have to copy it and paste it into your browser. Some email systems do that, and that they just copy it, paste it, click it, and activate your subscription. We'll be back with Derek Robinson right after this.
Come on.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Derek Robinson, and he is, I don't know if he would consider himself an activist, but in a very real sense, he is an activist for human rights against unlawful harassment and surveillance. And this gets into the electronic surveillance as well. As you may have noticed, we've been doing a series of shows about futuristic science, primarily futuristic science that is either available right now or is already being used right now. What we're going to discuss tonight is of supreme importance because it involves technology in use right now that has the effect of making you a slave, a puppet of others. No one I know wants to be a slave. Yet, when five magic words are uttered, masses bow, bend, and submit like mindless cowards. These five magic words have been in our language for a long time, but they've never had the bite they have now. These five magic words are a matter of national security. All a politician, a bureaucrat, or an intelligence officer has to do to bring about wholesale slavery is to simply say it's a matter of national security. And in the name of national security, massive amounts of constitutional protections you once had have been dumped into the dustbin of history. We are no longer the land of the free, ladies and gentlemen. We are the land of the formerly free, the monitored, the land of the regulated, the land of the poked and prodded, the land of the surveilled. And to dissent against government policies that violate the Constitution is now enough to get one placed on a watch list, a no-fly list. In fact, I am in peril tonight for simply saying what I have just said. No policy can be implemented without tools. There have been mechanisms by which these anti-constitutional thugs can implement their control over people. One of their tools is legislation that gives them the cover of law for their criminal enterprise. Other tools in their bag of tricks include warrantless searches, arrest without being charged, rendition to other countries for torture, and a host of electronic gadgets. Law enforcement agencies in the U.S. estimate that between 20 to 40% of all illegal stalking cases involve the use of electronic devices. One of the devices that has come to the fore in the past couple of years is the tiny electronic chips, the RFID chips. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people have been implanted with these chips, many of them without the consent or knowledge of the person that's being implanted. But there are a host of other electronic systems being used to surveil citizens and to harass them in violation of the Constitution and in violation of the United Nations Conventions on Human Rights as well. Now, we've come to the point where with chemtrails, invasive security pat-downs of innocent people, electronic chip implants, warrantless wiretaps, and email snooping, the land of the free is a thing of the past. My guest this evening is Derek Robinson. He is the president of an organization called Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. It's a human rights organization fighting to throw off the tools of the thugs who have hijacked freedom in America and around the world. Derek Robinson, welcome to the Kevin Smith Show.
Thank you, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here.
Derek, tell us a little bit about this organization, Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. When was it formed and what's the mission?
Okay. We started in 2005. Basically through a conference call, basically a conference call group. That's how we started in 2005. Originally, before that, we had been corresponding through a Yahoo group. And then the idea came to do conference calling, which would allow us to then speak to each other and to compare notes about what we've been experiencing. And that really helped us to really get all of our eggs on the table, so to speak, about what all we were all experiencing, compare our symptoms, the methodologies being used on us, and compare some ways that we could combat what's happening to us. So basically, our organization is geared towards those who are victims of this intrusive technologies, and then also advocacy for those victims to our legislators to enact legislation to protect ourselves. We also do public outreach to inform the community and the media what's happening, and that we are no longer, as you stated, we are no longer free. Because covert technologies are being used in our cities and towns that are really oppressing so many thousands of people.
Derek, are you a victim of this high-tech harassment and surveillance?
Yes, I am also, Kevin.
Do you what sort of methods were they using? Did they implant a chip in you, or did they use some other electronic method?
Okay, basically, what many of us are experiencing primarily is stalking and harassment that usually starts out is the methodology that's being used. A person is targeted initially. They are made aware that they are being followed. They are being tracked in a variety of ways. There are stalking scenarios that happen at first to make the person aware that they are being followed for some reason. After that, there are some electronic devices that start to impose themselves on the physical bodies in some cases, and then they become aware that their environment is totally monitored and surveilled, whether they're at home or out in public.
Mm-hmm.
There are some people that know who their stalkers are, but most of us are really not aware of who exactly is doing this. We do have suspicion that it is government-related because of the extensive and pervasive surveillance techniques that are employed 24/7 and the technologies that are used to invade our bodies and our minds.
All right, well, let me ask you this. Why Derek Robinson? Why did you get targeted? You said that it begins with stalking and harassment once a person has been targeted. So why did you get targeted? What is there in your background, in your activities, that would make you a target?
Okay, well, that's a good question. In my case, it started back in the military. I was in the U.S. Navy. And I was originally assigned to NSA as my first station. I decided that I wanted to pursue language in the Navy, and then I wound up at the National Security Agency, not knowing what I'd be doing there and not familiar with what this agency was at that time. I did learn the language. Hebrew was a language I learned. And I was in the Navy for about 7 years. And during the last year I was in the Navy, was when I became aware that I was being surveilled by either the Navy or the NSA. And that surveillance and harassment lasted for, I guess, about the last year I was in the Navy. And as I was, as my enlistment, the end of my enlistment neared, I kind of half hoped that this harassment would end because they legally would not have any further hold on me. However, that was not the case. And this was back in 1982. And so I came back from the Fort Meade area to Cincinnati, where I'm now, and to start over, and hope that that it had not followed me here. But after a few days, I realized that all of that harassment had followed me. So this has gone on since 1982 to the present, and it was not until 2004. When the internet came along, that I found that there were other victims of stalking and harassment, and much, much more that was going on. So it was quite an eye-opening experience to find all of these people.
All right, let's pause for just a moment. Let me ask a couple of questions here. You were in the Navy for about 7 years. You were assigned to the NSA, the National Security Agency. When you left the Navy, how were you discharged? Is it honorable discharge?
I was discharged honorably, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you have an honorable discharge. Was there any reason why the NSA, because that's where you were assigned, is there any reason why they should suspect that you were conducting any kind of illegal activities? Were you, for instance, having contact with foreign nationals?
No, it wasn't any suspicion of any illegal activity. I was in the Navy at that time. There was suspicion of sexual orientation was originally why the surveillance started.
Okay.
So, you know, after I left the Navy in 1982, it should theoretically have ended.
Yeah, because it's none of their business after that.
And you know, they had no further reason to continue that, but they did. And then so that continued from 1982 up until 2000, and it wasn't until 2004. When I discovered that there was a whole community of other people who were also being surveilled and harassed, that I knew that I was not alone. And also realized that it may not be necessarily, the orientation thing was not necessarily the hook that kept them with me, because of similar protocols that were happening in other people's lives. There are many, many hundreds of people that I have discovered that were also being surveilled and tracked and harassed for no apparent reason. And this has become a protocol in many, many cities and towns throughout this country. We have gotten calls and people reporting to us that they are being harassed by unknown persons from every major city in this country.
All right, got a question for you, two questions. I'll try to combine them into one. Since you've got contact with hundreds of people who have experienced this sort of thing, being harassed, being tracked, being stalked, and in some cases with electronic devices being used as well, you've got contact with hundreds of them. Have you noticed any pattern? For instance, is there a pattern of race involved in this? Is there a pattern of sexual orientation? So that we could say, well, okay, of all the people that you know that are being stalked, 60% are this race, 60% or 40% are of this sexual orientation. Is there any sort of pattern like that just stands up and screams at you?
Okay, that is an excellent question, Kevin. Actually, what we have noticed in terms of the targeting is not so much sexual orientation, race, creed, or anything like that. The most predominant demographic, according to our survey, is that the individual is single. There are mostly women who are, we have a majority of women in our organization who are targeted. It's about 60-40 in terms of single females who are targeted. So I would say the general profile of a targeted individual is a single Caucasian female. That is the most common denominator. We have 85% of our organization are people who are single for one reason or another, whether it be divorce, separation, never married, or what have you. The person that that they can, what appears to be, that they can isolate, that they can drive to a point of suicide or homicide, is the individual that is the most likely candidate for this type of harassment. And this is what we have, this is what we have seen over and over again.
I'm stunned by the implications of that. I think I understood you to say about 60% of the people that are targeted for this harassment and surveillance are single females?
That is correct.
Well, look, you know, I'm an old cop. Nothing happens without reason. Even if something appears to have no reason, it has a reason. It may be a reason we can't understand because it may come from an insane mind, but there's a reason there somehow.
Sure.
You know the reason, I think, that single females are being targeted. Is among this group of single females being targeted for harassment and electronic surveillance? Well, tell you what, we have a break coming up. I'm going to ask a question, but I want you to answer it when we come back from break. Among this group, 60% of the people being targeted for harassment and electronic surveillance are single females. Among that group, what percentage, if you know, are victims of sexual assault? I think that may be a clue. I'll find out with the rest of you when we come back from this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Derek Robinson. Derek, when we went away for break, I asked a question. Let me repeat it just in case we have some folks who have just tuned in. The question is, you said your organization of people who have been targeted for harassment, for stalking, for electronic surveillance, the number one demographic is that a very large percentage of them are single, and 60% of your group are single females, or 60% of the people who have been targeted are single females. And I ask this question, do you know what percentage of those women have been victims of sexual assault?
Okay. As far as exact numbers, percentage-wise, we don't have figures for that, Kevin. However, I can tell you from personal experience in terms of speaking with these women that sexual voyeurism, I would say, is often a part of the targeting. Because as I mentioned, people are surveilled 24/7, which includes you know, what they're doing at home, you know, when they go to the shower or what have you. I do hear from women that say that they're often comment, and those that are under particular mind control influence or control are sometimes made to spend a few more minutes in front of a mirror, say, as they're entering the shower or what have you. So that sexual voyeurism is a component, oftentimes, as far as the women are concerned.
A little bit earlier, you said that you and people in your group suspect that this is being run by the government. In other words, you suspect that the government is behind all of this tracking and surveilling and harassment. Why do you suspect it's the government?
For one thing, in my case, my targeting started with the government, the NSA, and the U.S. Navy, perhaps, either one or two of those entities or both. In terms of in general practice, if you look historically, the United States has been surreptitiously, secretly, unknown to the public, researching very avidly mind control technologies since the 50s. And some of these very same protocols that are happening to many of us, I look at some of the work of Jose Delgado, and his work is made public. And some of the experiments that he was using with electromagnetic activity, waves and such, on animals, his animal studies are public. And the things that he was doing with cats, that he was able to implant them, and some of this is viewable on YouTube, and he would send a signal to their brain, and he could make them do certain things, like lick their fur, or lick the cage, or lick the floor. Whatever he wanted them to do, he would send a certain signal to their brain if they'd been implanted, and they would do it. And he learned how to do this with electromagnetic waves. And you can see some of these experiments on YouTube. They're prevalent. And as you watch this, you realize, well, most people that watch this say, oh, that's a nice experiment. Look what he's doing with these animals. But from my perspective, as I watch these experiments, I also replay and also hear the stories of those people that call me and tell me of what they are also forced to do with the same technology or similar technology. After the animal studies were published and these videos were made and these experiments were written about in journals at that particular time, they vanished from public view. And that is when the human studies started up. Back in the 70s and 80s, it's when people started getting targeted with this stuff.
All right. Now you talked about people that are under mind control. I assume that you've talked to some of these people. Is that correct?
I have talked to these people. I talk to them daily, Kevin. They call our organization. They search the internet and they find us.
All right. And what you're describing, I'm familiar with the work of Delgado. And a lot of our listeners are. If you're not, folks, go search it out. and become familiar with his work. But basically, it is what you're describing is a recipe for the Manchurian Candidate plot. Do you think that there are Manchurian candidates, real ones, who are being mind controlled, and that are being controlled by signals to their brain? Either they have a chip, or actually they don't even need a chip anymore. They can just aim a device at your head from a long ways away and transmit a voice right directly into your head. But do you think that that's what's going on, that it's the Manchurian Candidate kind of thing?
Well, the Manchurian Candidate, I mean, these were specific individuals that were selected for certain assignments, assassinations and such. And I do believe that there are individuals that that have been groomed and trained and tortured to do what they to do that kind of thing. And that's a very specialized part of mind control technology and mind control protocols that happen.
Okay,
and, yeah,
but
what
about
some individuals that are in that situation?
What about your group of people that you're dealing with? Do you think there's any of that going on with your group?
As far as our group, I'm not aware of any specific Manchurian candidates that that carry out assassinations or anything like that. The people that I deal with on a daily basis are people that I mean, they could be your next door neighbor. These are average people that are trying to live their lives, but have found this intrusive component that has come, in most instances, from sources unknown, that has kind of invaded their lives. And they're trying to find ways to, to be free of it. There's the stalking and harassment that I mentioned earlier, but there's sometimes the technology that seeks to control their lives and also their own movement.
See, I certainly don't doubt this, but I'm a little bit at a loss when I try to think of the reason why. I mean, if what they were trying to do is to develop a core of people who could be switched on to do an assassination if they wanted it, although I would disagree with it, I understand it. It's got a reason, even if it's one that I don't think is right or rational, it's got a reason. But when you're talking about, just as you said, your next door neighbor, you know, just some average person, what would be the reason that they would be subjected to all of this? Maybe it's just using these people as guinea pigs? Is that what the deal is? They're just doing tests on these people?
Well, using them as guinea pigs is certainly one of the reasons. There is experimentation going on. And if you look at MKUltra, this was a nationwide program of mind control research that the government undertook back in the 50s. Congress caught them at it, the CIA and the military, most of the CIA, actually, you know, at this surveillance and this mind control program that was caught by Congress through an investigation and hearings, and supposedly was shut down in the 70s. And actuality, it's continued. But, you know, there were various reasons why it started. It was during the time of the Cold War. And they came to realize that that Russia had a mind control program, and probably the rationale is that they wanted to keep up with the Russians and not be caught by surprise with this new technology that they were working on. Mm-hmm. So that was the reason that the U.S. entered into the mind control technology research. And that was back in the 50s, and it became a lot more important back in the mid-60s when they discovered the Moscow signal. And that was something that was being aimed at the U.S. ambassador in Moscow that they happened to find, and they became to realize that that was the source of the illness of the U.S. ambassador. He contracted leukemia after a while, and he passed away from it, from the signal and the health effect. So they began to study the effects of electromagnetics on the human body. And that was when all of this electromagnetic research really went into high gear. And they began to they began to study exactly what electromagnetics could do on the human body. And that's when we have that's when we saw people like Jose Delgado came on the scene, Dr. Ross Addy, and some others that began to find the correlation between electromagnetic waves and human behavior. So if there was a reason, I guess that was the reason. It was in response to Russian technology and research.
All right. And, have you ever...
Ultra became, was a nationwide program. So you had these research facilities nationwide, and they had to have test subjects, and they used whatever they could find, whoever they could find for this research. And a lot of times it was non-consensual test subjects.
Have you ever, we're going to step away for break and we'll get you to answer this on the other side of the break, but have you yourself ever been mind controlled, perhaps where you found yourself doing something, you knew you were doing it, you couldn't stop it, it had to happen, or you didn't know you were doing it, but later discovered you did it? Have you yourself ever caught yourself being mind-controlled? And we'll get an answer to that when we come back. Don't go away, folks. More on the other side of this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is Derek Robinson. Derek, you mentioned, and we've talked a bit about the mind control programs. Have you yourself ever noticed that you were being mind controlled?
Okay. Yeah, that's also a good question. Myself, I have not noticed any particular instance where I was in a situation and doing things without my control. However, I am aware that I can be influenced. There is technology that that can implant or insert thoughts into the human mind, and in that way, and sometimes I actually hear the voices, and this technology has been around since the 70s, being able to project the human voice into one's mind, and let you know that that's happening. That could also drive some people bonkers. You know, they're thinking that they are losing their mind, but that technology's been around since the 70s.
All right, let's talk about that for a minute. How do you know when someone comes to you and says, Derek, I'm a victim of this harassment, stalking, and electronic surveillance? And you start asking questions, and they say, well, you know, I hear voices in my head sometimes. How do you know this person is sane, or maybe they need lithium? No, seriously, because, you know, there are people that, if they have a lithium deficiency, will hear voices. And lithium is a mineral. It's not a drug. But they can take lithium and the voices go away. How do you know the difference?
Well, you know, sometimes you really can't know for sure. However, you can extrapolate from the circumstances surrounding the individual's life. If there are other extenuating circumstances that go along with the hearing of voices, sometimes there are protocols that you recognize from one individual to the next. It could be a stalking scenario that's happening. It could be a host of, usually there's a host, Kevin, there's a host of other harassment activity that's going on in a person's life. The voices is that might seem like a big deal to someone that's not targeted at all, but usually that is the smallest portion of harassment that a person has to deal with in some cases. Because there's just a whole host of harassment that a person endures. I mean, it's basically a total life invasion in many instances. Everything gets messed with. All of your contacts, your socially and your business contacts, your employment, it's just a whole life invasion, and they try to ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, the voices kind of add insult to injury, I would say, in terms of the overall effect in most cases.
What are some of the symptoms?
A host of other things that are happening as well.
What are some of the symptoms that a person would experience if they were being subjected to this electronic invasion, electronic surveillance, and perhaps electronic mind control? What are some of the symptoms that they would experience?
Okay. For the electronic part, I'll describe that because that is there are more clear symptoms in that regard. There are headaches that people complain of. There are nosebleeds for no particular reason. Nausea, extreme fatigue. Sometimes there's hearing of voices. There are irregular heartbeat. You know, some people complain of their heart speeding up. You know, it's like it's beating out of their chest. Or sometimes it almost stops. They can control almost any organ of the body remotely. So these are some of the physical symptoms that people complain to me about. Sometimes there's a loss of muscle control, limbs that won't move, or sometimes move on their own. There's just a whole host of things you just could not imagine the extent to which this technology has evolved.
I'm still puzzled over why would they target basically Ma and Pa America. Don't misread that. I'm not saying that I don't think they're doing it. I'm puzzled as to what would be the reason. Surely by now they have tested and know what they can accomplish and what they cannot accomplish with this technology. Surely they know by now.
Well, in my opinion, Kevin, it seems to be a control agenda that's happening, and it seems to go along with a lot of things that are happening in our society. If you look at the economy, if you look at many other things that are happening in our society, the weather, HAARP, and some of the other technologies that are around, I think there's a certain group of people that are controlling certain events, and this is one part of that.
Have you talked to very many lawmakers about this, very many congressmen, senators, et cetera?
We've tried to.
What response do you get?
We've tried to. The thing is, unless there is a major... unless there is a major call in some way, a major march, say, of hundreds of thousands of people converging on Washington, D.C., politicians are not likely to respond to this. There has to be a public, a general public awareness that this is happening and a demand for action before Congress will be moved to act.
You're familiar with the tragedy that took place over in Tucson, and the people say that the alleged shooter suddenly changed about a year ago, and his whole personality, his actions, everything changed. It could be that it was just something in his own psyche that changed, but could it also be that someone doing electronic surveillance and harassment could flip a switch that caused that change? Is that possible?
It's entirely possible. And we have often noticed in these types of situations that the person has reached a point to where they... are no longer in control of themselves for one reason or another. And the concern that we have with this technology and with this protocol of harassment is that particularly when you have so many people who are selected, who are single and without a support network, these are the ones that are most vulnerable. And once a person becomes isolated, it seems that they can, and in despair, it seems that they can then drive the person through harassment, through torture, et cetera, to the point of suicide or homicide or both. That seems to be, you know, in my opinion, what this is leading to for all who are victims of this technology.
Wow. All right. We're about a minute away from break. Did you see any signs in what you saw about the alleged shooter in Tucson? Did you see anything or hear anything that indicated to you that he possibly was being subjected to this kind of stuff?
I searched myself to try to find a common denominator, and it may be there. I didn't see it specifically in his case, but there are several cases that are similar that I have seen that as well.
All right. We have to step away for break. We'll be back, folks, right after this, so don't go away. Thank you. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. We're delighted you're here, and you have my sincere sympathy for whatever it is that kept you away from the first hour. My guest this evening is Derek Robinson, and he is the president of an organization called Freedom from Covert Harassment and Surveillance. And this also gets into all the electronic devices that are used to surveil and harass people, and that's kind of where we've been focused. Derek, let me ask you this, and then we'll open up the phone lines so our audience can participate in this show. I know they have questions and comments, and I want them to have the opportunity to participate. I can't think of all the questions, and so I invite the audience to help me out. Let me ask this. Let's say a person listening to the show tonight thinks that they are subject to this harassment, this stalking, this electronic surveillance, and they contact your organization. What can your organization do that will assist them?
Okay, Kevin, really the main importance of our organization is, as you mentioned, we mentioned earlier that 85% of those that come to us are single, and those that are targeted seem to be those, they seem to target those that are single without a support system. The idea apparently is that they can isolate this individual and harass that person to the point of self-destruction. It seems to be the protocol. If, you know, when people find our organization, that interrupts that cycle of despair. And, you know, along with others in the community, we are in search of solutions.
All right, now I ask you about lawmakers, and you say you've tried to talk with them. What happens? No response when you write to them, or do you get a response that says, "Thank you for your interest. Now go away."
There seems to be a protocol in terms of contacting officials and dealing with this type of situation. If we go to the police, and this happened to many of our members. They are often hauled off to the psych ward.
Mm-hmm.
If we go to our congressional representative, they may listen for a while. They may respond. They may not. But ultimately, they will, if a person is persistent, they will ultimately be told to contact their local police. If we go to our FBI, we are told that it is a police matter, and we are to contact the local police.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned, when we go to the police, we are, in many instances, hauled off to psych wards immediately. And this happened to one of our members just a couple weeks ago.
So everyone is kicking it back to the police, and the police have one response, which is, let's take them to the psych ward. If the police actually did an investigation, they would be investigating, they would have to be investigating federal programs. They would have to look to that at least and do some investigating of federal programs. And many of those programs are secret. And if they got too close to the truth, it could be career enders for them. So it's a neat, tidy little package of circular reasoning to make sure that your constitutional rights cannot be upheld.
That's exactly true, Kevin. And that is, that's why we found it so difficult to find solutions for this particular situation. We feel that police officers, police departments, are complicit this is our opinion, to a certain degree, with what's happening, that they are often tipped off by the Fed that this is going on and to not, you know, take this seriously.
Mm-hmm. Folks, there are 47 states that have laws on the books in the states against using electronic equipment in stalking and harassing, etc. And 47 states, and yet it is going on in 50 states. All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hello, Terry.
Hi, and good evening to your guests, too.
Good evening.
Yes, sir. I did research this a little bit. On Whitney Strieber's program, they have a segment of a woman that's on that talks about this so-called eavesdropping on people, and she's got a little thing going against it. And ways to block it, you know, and what to do if they're doing this to you. And one of the ways is back to the old, the made fun of silver hat will reflect, I guess, this technology. I don't know if it's true or not. Your guest didn't talk about ways of blocking it that I recall. But does he know of ways of blocking this?
I don't know. Ask him.
I just did.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. The thing is, we in the community are always in search of ways to block the technology. And yes, we've explored aluminum foil. You know, that's one of the first things that we try. And sometimes that does help to an extent.
Okay. Yeah, because, you know, it's hard to, take this to anybody. Because, I mean, things that are right in front of their face, they don't take for reality, you know, as far as I've seen today. I mean, there's a lot of things going on, you know, and it's in their face, and they act like it ain't, you know. So to put something like this out there, you know, it would be so easy to blow over. It'd be so pathetic. But I see a real use for it in effect, like where he asked you about that Oklahoma thing. I think the guys that blew up the Oklahoma federal building and these guys that's doing the school shootings and all this other bizarre stuff, the government is doing to use as scare tactics for them to have more control over us. What do you think?
That seems to be that's a possibility. That's a possibility. There seems to be some type of control agenda at work. Who's actually pulling the strings? We're not sure. We're asking for a congressional investigation to find out. But they have been silent so far on that subject.
All right, Terry, thank you for the call. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephones are open, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. You can call that number from anywhere on this planet. It will work. All right. Now, we have a toll-free number for the USA and Canada. That number is 888-223-4599. If you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, I don't have a toll-free number. You can call that main number, 623-444-5889, or since I don't have a toll-free number, if you don't want to make the international long-distance call, you can go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and look on the right side of that picture. To the right of that picture, you'll see a link that says Flash Message. But to use that, you have to be outside the USA and outside of Canada. Inside the USA and Canada, we have a phone and a toll-free number if you need it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Francois from Montreal.
Hello, Francois.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Derek.
Hi, sir. Francois.
Hi, Derek. I have a question for you. You know, like, are those people that are harassed, like, they're, like, above the average, like, morality, like very good people?
Oftentimes they are. Some of those in our community are professional people. We have those who are doctors and who have advanced degrees, well-educated people. So that's often it's the case. But actually, Francois, we have a variety. There's all strata of people that are targeted by this protocol, by stalking and the technology. The rich, very rich, sometimes are targeted, and all the way down to the poor, everyone is a target in this. This is a struggle for humanity, for all of humanity.
Yeah, and it's a battle we have to win. If I can express my opinion, this is not like electronic harassment. It's black magic. Because a lot of people are possessed by demons. They act normally. They have a dog, children, but they're like hypocrites playing a role, you know. And all demons are not like equally bad. Some are quite good, but they're rare. They're like opposite of humans, and that's it. And I have another comment, if you wish. You know, like a lot of people told me to unplug my TV because that's how they draw energy from people. And I didn't believe it for months. And when I did it, I was in the dark. And believe me or not, I unplugged the TV that was off. And I saw spark in the plug, not the plug in the wall, the plug I was having like in my end. It was not sparking like a welding machine. It was just like static sparks, but for 1 or 2 seconds. But that's very strange, you know, like I'm an electronic technician, and like the TV with the cathode tube, you know, they have like a powerful magnet to drive the electron beam, but my TV is a projection screen. It works with a bulb, a few mirror, and a few lamps. And I hear, you know, when it was working, I hear the same high pitch sound that the magnetic generator do on a cathodic TV, you know, and it's not supposed to contain like nothing like that, like a powerful magnet.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to say about that. But Francois, thank you very, very much. What about that? You know, one of the things that a lot of people do not realize, there is, when we talk about electronic surveillance, there's a lot of that going on. Now, and it's going on, and people don't even realize it's going on. One of the major computer manufacturers here in the United States was putting, and I guess they still are, key loggers in the laptop computers, and maybe in their desktop too, I don't know, but I know about a particular model of laptop that they were putting it in. Nobody knew it was there at first, and until a computer technician took it apart and looked at it and found this little device inside the computer, and he says, well, what's this? And so he did his tests on it and discovered it's a key logger. So that every key you strike, everything you type, was being reported to someone somewhere.
Mm. Yes, we are becoming more and more a surveilled society. And supposedly, NSA is keeping track of every email that goes forth in the country. Every email, every phone call, they have the ability, supposedly, to keep track of all of that.
Yeah. And, of course, there are people that say, well, if you're not doing anything illegal, why do you care? And my point is, I'm not doing anything illegal when I'm laying in bed, but you're not going to sleep with me. All right, to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Tony from Denver.
Hello, Tony.
Hello. And Derek, what is your opinion of the planet Earth being a prison planet and most of the organized stalking and remote electronic assault being conducted and carried out by a hidden extraterrestrial presence?
Oh, as far as extraterrestrials, I wouldn't know for sure about that at all. Best of my knowledge is that the government's involved, you know, in this research, and they have control of the technology. I would have no knowledge of aliens.
You don't think Big Brother could be an alien?
I have no idea about that.
Okay. Well, great show tonight, Kevin. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Tony. You know, that's one of the theories, and actually taken quite seriously by some quite serious scientists, is that if there are extraterrestrials out there, and they say the probability is virtually certain, and if they have ever come to Earth, they will have evolved on their planet much the same as we've evolved on our planet, with some differences, and they may look just like us. And I've actually talked with someone who had the top security clearance you can get in NATO, who worked at NATO headquarters at SHAPE, which is in NATO headquarters, and he said that this is something that has the military intelligence people in a tailspin. They're absolutely terrified of the possibility that there are extraterrestrials that look just like us and could be already infiltrated into the organizations and institutions. And he said they take it quite seriously. So I don't know. All right, 623-444-5889 is the number to call if you have a question or a comment about all of this harassment, stalking, electronic surveillance of people, and other types of surveillance. One of the things that I read on your site, one of the things that people experience is, you know, they have a private conversation in their home where they say something, and then a total stranger out there repeats it back where they can hear it. In other words, let's just say you and I are having a private conversation, and you say A. And so now you go to the supermarket, and someone out there uses the exact same words and repeats it or says it where you can hear it to let you know that you were heard. So you mentioned that one of the things that they do with the stalking and with the tracking is they let you know that it's going on. Why do you think they do that?
That is something that is... you know, when you experience something like that, you know, you kind of not pay attention, you know, well, I just said that, you know, and why is this person saying those exact words? You get taken aback for a second and you realize that, hey, this person, you know, if it happens once, you know, you may not think a lot of it, but if it continues to happen, you know, that's the way that they let you know that you're being surveilled and followed.
Yeah, but why would they let you know?
I think it is intimidation. Because the sense of being violated, I mean, it just becomes overpowering. Especially if you're alone. And as I mentioned, most of these people who are victims are single people, so they don't necessarily have a support system. So they're having to grapple with this new entourage of people, you know, by themselves, because they can't really explain to anyone else that isn't, that this isn't happening to, you know, what's occurring, to where people will believe them. And that has really been an issue for our situation. So I think it's to intimidate the person, as well as to let them know that they are being targeted.
All right, back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Haya from Vancouver Island, Victoria.
Hello, Haya.
Hi. Hello, Derek. I was wondering, how much percentages of these women are very well educated? How many of them are a certain age group? How many are a certain blood type? Why I ask that, because they used to have, before the Second World War finished, there were Nazi scientists that had a eugenics program, and they did major testing on women. Now, I don't know how you can get some of this information, but it was, you were able to get it in the past. I don't know about now. Anyways, they did a lot of eugenics. They implanted women, usually for different reasons, like if they were educators, they were teachers, well, it would be through schools in different areas. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, as far as educated, actually, most of the of those that responded to our survey are consider themselves professionals. I believe the percentage was like 60% of the group considered themselves a professional of some type and have advanced degrees, at least college. So many of us do have education.
That's very interesting. So they could have been shipped without, through the universities, maybe, for
some
whatever
people,
excuse.
Some people are known to feel like are known to be chipped. Some others are not sure, although it's very well possible.
What's the percentage of blood types?
Oh, well, we haven't measured for that kind of thing. I'm not sure what the purpose would be.
Well, here's where that's coming from. The thing is that, you know, there are a great many people who claim that they have been abducted by extraterrestrials. What they describe is a process whereby they get chipped. Research over the years has led a lot of people to believe that those are actually military situations and that the people are made to believe it's extraterrestrials, but they're actually military abductions. And the people are being chipped. And there's a very high percentage of them that are Rh negative.
Wow. Suspected that, and I do agree with you. I don't believe that these people that are taken, I think it's military. I also have a suspect, because I'm doing some research, that a lot of the cattle mutilations, there's a lot of people that have seen helicopters over their cattle and are very...
All right, Haya, hang on. We have to take a break. Derek, hang on, and we'll be back. Ladies and gentlemen, more after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Derek Robinson, on the line with us from British Columbia. Hiya. And Derek Robinson. And Hiya, I had to cut you off in mid-sentence because the break was taking over. I want to give you a chance to finish your thought.
Oh, what I was saying is that I suspect that a lot of what's happening is through the eugenics program.
Mm-hmm.
It's the old Nazi eugenics program. I think it never stopped after the Second World War. And a lot of these so-called abductions, I really think it has a lot to do with the black ops. And I think they're using the excuse of ETs. I think that's, they're trying to build up a fear in people so they can just take away their rights all the time.
All right. Hiya, thank you for the call. Derek, I guess you've noticed that a lot of our callers have the opinion that the government wants to take away our rights. What would you say about that? Because you've been Navy, you've worked at the NSA. So what would you say about that?
Well, yeah, I would agree that that seems to be where we're heading, especially with the type of technology that we are experiencing. And I really haven't mentioned this part of it, is that not only are they surveilling these folks, but they're also trying to take control of the person's life. They try to boss them. They try to tell them what to do. It's an incremental takeover of a person's life. In my situation, because I'm with a network of people, the protocol of isolation and driving a person to suicide or homicide, that protocol would not work now because I'm aware. So they can't, but they do try to incrementally take over my personal life.
I think one of the questions that a lot of people would have is, well, why would the government want to take more freedom away from us? And but see, folks, it's every organism, every group, every institution wants to grow. It's no one has ever joined. For instance, you don't join a club that says, okay, we're trying to go out of business, and we really don't want any new members, and so we're trying to go out of business. You don't join up for something that's going under. Everything, every institution, everything wants to grow. Now, the only way that government can grow in its authority and power is to take it from you. And the reason is that 100% of the power and authority, according to the Constitution, rests with the people. And the government was we carved out a little bit of authority and a little bit of power, and told the government, we're hiring you to do this, do these things. So whenever you give someone the responsibility to do something for you, you have to give them the power or authority to do it. So the more we turn to them and say, do this for us, the more we're giving our own authority away to them. Now, if they want to grow and you don't want to give that authority away, then by creating situations where you are frightened, they know that many, many, many people will say, oh, government, help us. Solve this problem. And when you do that, you just gave away authority. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Whoops. Hang on, caller. My fault. I pushed the wrong button. I had the wrong line up there. Okay, caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Clay from Arkansas.
Hello, Clay.
Yeah, this could apply for everything you said last week and HARP and what you're saying tonight. Basically, back in the 70s, they were developing mirrors that would... on the atmosphere, on the part of the atmosphere, to shoot laser beams and to to hit another target. Now, that could be applied to harps or your ducks or anything like that.
Okay.
So, thank you. I guess I'll hang up and let you make your comment.
Okay. What about it? Does HARP play a role in this electronic surveillance of people?
You're asking me? Okay. As far as HARP goes, it's possible. I mean, it's a huge system, and HARP is it targets people over massive land areas, and we do believe that that HARP is exhibiting some symptoms of mind control over large areas of land areas. But I also heard that it can also individualize. It can target specific individuals as well. So, yes, I do believe that HARP is also involved in this mind control paradigm.
We've talked a little bit about these chips tonight. One of the things that came to my mind today, now, you know, we had Jim Walbert on, and you and I talked about him. He was my guest a couple of weeks ago, and he's the guy that has been involuntarily chipped. He doesn't know how it was done. He has no memory of it, but the chip has been verified by MRI and by having a doctor that says, yep, that's what it is, and there it is right there. So the chips seem to play a role in this, and an ever-increasing role, I think, in this electronic harassment and surveillance. And what came to my mind, you know, because you mentioned a moment ago that it seems there's sort of a confluence of things happening, you know, the economic crisis and all of the catastrophes and, you know, all that stuff happening all at the same time. Well, you know, I know there are people, I'm not a religious person, but I'm not stupid either. I read. I know there are people that are going to say, well, what I've just put up on the screen on our television station, that's religious. Well, no, it's just words from an ancient book, and it's a prophecy that when we get near to the end of time, a system will be put in place whereby everyone has to receive this mark in their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one can buy or sell unless you have that mark. Well, the chip, I think, is a primitive precursor of what that could be. I think that the concept, the idea, is a precursor of what that mark might be. But, you know, they're now making, you don't have to have a chip. They're making ink. They can tattoo you with it, with a dot that's the size of a fleck of glitter. And it does the same thing that implantable chip will do. And they could just tattoo your hand or put a little dot on your forehead. The technology's there for that prophecy to actually come to pass. What do you think about that?
Well, I'm aware of that prophecy. And as far as I know, I've not seen where wouldn't use a chip to buy or sell anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's they actually, yes, they tested it. It's in test in Connecticut. And if you have the implanted chip, you don't have to use your debit card or your credit card when you check out. you just put your hand up there and they use the scanner and read the chip and it does everything that your card would have done. So it's in testing.
A biological, something that's implanted, say like in your wrist or something like that, you said?
If you take your hand and open it up, spread your fingers out, there's a sort of a soft, meaty muscle between your thumb and your index finger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where they're implanting them, just under the skin.
I mean, it's entirely possible. How prevalent it's going to be, I can't guess at this point. Most people with chips, in our group, as far as as far as we're concerned, it's for tracking, it's for torture, for a host of other things.
All right, explain torture. How do they use it to torture them?
Well, I can only relate to you what's been told to me. I'm not sure if I'm implanted or not, and we're trying to develop some type of a test whereby people can know if they're chipped or not. But those that have been, and some, it's very obvious because they can actually see them and feel them. They're things that they can reach down and touch. But these are torture devices, and what's described to me is excruciating pain that's inflicted, and it's through RF frequencies remotely that they're doing this. And if you have many of these chips throughout your body, what they call a bodysuit, this could be extremely torturous.
Do you have members that have more than one chip?
Oh, yes. We have many that have multiple chips. And I think Jimmy has a few, but there are some in our group that have dozens of them.
Do they know how they got them?
Some do, some don't. Some have claimed they went into a hospital and came out and realized that they've been chipped. Some have been abducted and they were chipped. In Jimmy's case, he woke up one day after a sound sleep and found that he had been implanted.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a variety of ways that people can get them. And especially in the early days, there are a lot of ways you can get them. But nowadays, there are even more ways you can be chipped if they choose to use them. An injection, as I understand. And sometimes people are kind of put under in the homes, and they claim that they're people that gain entry somehow. And
all right, we have to step away for break. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening, Derek Robinson. And Derek, let me get into something that we haven't gotten into. You have difficulty getting the lawmakers in this country to sit down and talk with you seriously about this problem and to do congressional or Senate investigations of it. Have you considered that since this is a violation of the United Nations Conventions on Human Rights, that since there seems to be no way to have legal recourse in this country for this, Have you considered filing a complaint with the World Court? They have investigators. Our country does not recognize the authority of the World Court, but the United Nations as a whole does. And it could have, if they investigated, if they found out it was going on, and they ruled in your favor, there could be United Nations sanctions against the United States until such time as they bring this program to heel. Have you considered that?
Actually, many times, Kevin, we've tried several avenues to get this addressed internationally, and it's quite a process. We've started out with complaints, many of us have, but they've kind of gotten bottlenecked in bureaucracy, and we really just don't hear back from them. We've sent messages and literature to the United Nations, and we've made some attempts both here in the U.S. and our European colleagues have attempted to have this addressed in the World Court, but it's just has not surfaced. It's not panned out just yet.
Where did you send, when you sent it to the United Nations, to whom did you send it?
Well, there's a human rights mm-hmm. division that we send, that we would send correspondence to. Many of us have sent letters to that particular office. And sometimes we do get a reply, and it's basically stating someone will get back to you, and then we just never hear anything else.
Well, I'm not surprised about that, but let me tell you, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not doing anything. I've worked in several United Nations missions, and you could requisition a pencil at the beginning of your mission. Your mission maybe lasts for a year. At the near the end of your mission, you'd get the pencil. So it moves like very cold molasses. Now let me also say, I certainly don't want to see sanctions against the United States. I'm an American. I don't want to see that happen. But I'll tell you what I don't want to see, even more than that. I don't want to see the wholesale destruction of freedom in this country. And that is pretty much what we're seeing. And, if the courts here and if the lawmakers here will not respond to this grievance, that's one of your rights to petition the government for redress of grievance. Okay, now, if they won't, then there has to be help somewhere. And, it would be much preferable... more preferable for the lawmakers here to understand that you have a right to petition the government for redress of grievances, and they need to listen. Now, that some people say, well, that means you have to go through the court system. No, that's after the court system has failed to do anything about it. Now you're petitioning the government, you see. And so Congress has the right to subpoena, so does the Senate. They have a right to command any individual in the United States to appear before them. They have a jail. The Senate has a jail. And if they've sentenced someone for some crime, which the Senate can do, they can incarcerate that person in their jail. We have that right to petition the government for redress of grievances. Since we have that right, they have the responsibility to look into it. It would be much more preferable if they would just do so. And maybe they will.
It would be, but at this stage of the game, they seem to be, in some cases, almost protecting those that are tormenting us.
Well, they passed the laws that made it possible.
My opinion, it's really going to take a large outcry from the public, from the media, before Congress will see that this is a human rights issue that needs to be addressed.
It's so easy for them to just pass it off with, well, look, these people are, you know, they obviously show signs of being mentally unstable. They hear voices, they sense pains when the doctors say there's nothing wrong with them, and so forth. And so they can just pass it off as it's a mental health issue. They've created the perfect cover for themselves. This is why I said that one of the tools of the thugs who are hijacking freedom in this country is legislation. They can cover themselves, give themselves the cover of law to carry out their crimes.
Well, that's basically they're up to now, and you touched on a very excellent point. Up to now, they have had the cover because MKUltra and all the mind control research programs co-opted into this research the top hospitals, the top research facilities. We're talking about Harvard, Yale, UCLA, University of Michigan, the top schools in the country, and hospitals and psychiatrists, doctors that were involved in the early stages of this program. They had to co-opt these people in order for this to work. And it seems to, and up to now it has worked perfectly. If you look at the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistics Manual, where psychiatrists evaluate people that come to them, the very symptoms that we are complaining of automatically brand an individual as paranoid schizophrenic.
I wish we had more time, Derek, but we've run up against the end of the show. I want to thank you for being with me this evening. It's been a pleasure.
Likewise.
Stay on the phone with me for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, if you want more information about the organization that Derek Robinson heads, maybe you have some of those symptoms that he talked about and you wonder if it's happening to you. All you have to do is go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, click on his picture, and it'll take you to his website. Tomorrow night, we're going to shift gears just a bit. Tomorrow night, what we're going to do is we're going to have Marshall Masters as my guest. You know that's always a fiery show. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Why? Because you have a right to know. Until next time, so long, everybody.